Right, okay. Well, continuing our series on heroes, I'm going to talk about the boy with the five loaves and two fish today as my hero. And it's actually, he's only mentioned in about a verse of the Bible, so perhaps not much of a hero, but I think we've got something that we can learn. And you know, I do believe that as we prepare to speak on Sundays, you know, God has something to say to us. It might not be through the word, it might be through the worship, it might be through each other. But when we come, you know, often I pray in the week in here that the Holy Spirit would be here ready to meet with us on a Sunday, and that when we come in, that whatever is going on in our lives, that God has something to say about it. And when we decided on heroes, I knew straight away that I wanted to speak about this little boy. But first of all, I've got another little puzzle for you. Dan, could you put up the first slide, please? I can't see any heads. Is anyone? Oh, you are there. Thank you. Oh, could you put up that? Oh, right. Okay. Anybody know who any of these are? I've got Florence Nightingale, Heidi Baker. John Wesley. Mumble. Come on, be brave. It doesn't matter if you're wrong. Nothing will happen to you. Not John, you didn't, yeah, no, not. Yeah, you live with me, don't you? Yeah, that's right. Well, let's, can you just flick through them for me, Mark or Dan, whoever's there. So we've got Corrie Ten Boom. So last year we visited Corrie's house where she was, where she was taken as a prisoner during the war. William Wilberforce, who we've spoken about today, the abolition of the slave trade. Evan Roberts, who... He didn't start the Welsh Revival. Didn't the Holy Spirit start the Welsh Revival? But anyway, Evan was there. He was one of the first stalwarts who was there. And we went to visit Moriah Chapel, where it broke out, the Welsh Revival, which was a time when unprecedented in Wales that people were asking, how can I be saved? You know, where's God? I need to be part of the Christian life. And Evan Roberts was a young man, and he'd been praying that something would happen. And it was in a place called Moriah Chapel, and we visited it, and our children were quite small at the time, and I said, get in that pulpit where Evan Roberts was, and we're going to pray that the spirit that was in him would be in you. And they stood in the chapel. It was funny, actually, because we were there, and it was a really rainy day, and you have, you know, I'm full of dreams and ideas, and I get there, and it's going to be wonderful. And you get there, and it's raining, and it's shut. And you're just like, oh, I've dragged everybody here. You know, we did have a nice time in Cardiff for a weekend as well. But then down the road, this lady came, and she was like, oh, what are you doing? And we told her, and she said, oh, I've got a key. And there it is. And so we got in there, and we got in the pulpit. Yeah, Eva Roberts. Let's move on. Who's next? Heidi Baker. I absolutely love Heidi Baker. She's as mad as a box of frogs. But she's actually a doctor of theology, systematic theology, from King's College in London. But she's given her life to the children of Mozambique. And I have got a clip. I don't know if we'll have time really to see it today. But, you know, watch her on YouTube. Listen to her stories, because that will build your faith as it builds mine. Incredible things, incredible hardship. But, she is completely sold out for the love of Jesus. Yeah, have we got one more? Florence Nightingale, who could have been rich, who could have been married, who could have been, you know, a society princess, but she stood up to her family, to society, to say, no, God has called me. And I went, I've forgotten the name of the hospital now, where her museum is, and you can go and you can see her Bible and her prayer book of, you know, somebody who got before God to say, what do you want me to do? And change the history of nursing as we know it. Anybody else? Are we done? Oh, John Wesley. Yeah, a few of us have been to his house in London, and to go into his prayer room, a little tiny sort of triangular room with a little tiny grate where he prayed something like 4 o'clock every morning. And I've stood there and said, Lord, you know, would you fall on me like you fell on him? However, I've not done the 4 o'clock bit, so maybe that's on its way. Was that it? That one? Was that my last one, Dan? Yeah. Okay. So that's some of it. I love hearing about what people have done. I love stories of faith where we speak to each other about, do you know what's happened? Do you know what's happened? Because that is when we're not looking at our circumstances, but we're looking at God to change them. And we're keeping our eyes on him to say, well, what are you going to do next? What are you going to do about this? And it's hard to get to that situation when your heart is breaking, when you've been told some dreadful news, when you haven't got a job. It's hard to say, I'm going to lift my eyes and look to God. But that's why we meet on a Sunday. That is why we're together, so we can spur each other on. And one of the things about heroes and looking at them and reading their stories is their life surprises us. We go, wow, that's amazing. Oh, that happened to you. All those things don't happen to me. But it also should stir us up, inspire us that actually, could this be me? And then it should spur us on to go, you know what, the same God who did that in their lives can do the same for me, can do something different, can do more in my life with what I'm giving. And I find that really exciting. You know, I am very excited about a group advance that Mark spoke about today that Abby and Emily are going to head up. You know, evangelist is one of the gifts to the church, and yet we know that people make a process, a journey into faith. But there must be those of us who have a heart to say, I am going to pray for my friends. I'm going to pray for an opportunity to speak to them about Jesus. We're going to stop being embarrassed about Jesus, because when we talk to our friends about Jesus, it's going to be good for them. It's going to make their lives better. It's not going to go, I'm going to lose my friend if I say that. I think this all the time, you know, that they'll think I'm a nutter. Don't react. But let's read the passage today. I'll read it here to make sure I've got the right ones. Sometime after this, this is from John chapter 6, sorry, if you've got your Bible, John chapter 6. This is probably one of the most famous miracles that Jesus did, that your average Joe on the street probably knows what happens to the loaves and the fishes. Oh, did they get multiplied? People would probably know. One of the famous miracles, and yet the boy who had the loaves and the fishes is only mentioned in John, and that's why we're going to read it there. Some time after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias as well, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Oh, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, "It would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So he went off. I think if I had one thing to say about this, it's don't look at the circumstances, look at God. Try to learn that. Let's try and learn it in our lives. Well, what was going on? You know, who was this little boy who turned up? Well, we don't really know much about him except Andrew seemed to find him. And, you know, they're sat there with just Jesus and his disciples. And all these people are coming up. And it says 5,000 men, but we know that that's just the men. It could have been 5,000 families. And they're coming up towards Jesus and his disciples. And, you know, if I was one of the disciples, I'd go, "Oh, no, not again. I thought we were going to have you to ourselves today, but look, they're all coming. We just sailed across the sea to get into a nice little place, and here they're all here again. How did that lot come?" So if they sailed across the sea with them, or we know it was the time of Passover, so there'd be lots of pilgrims on their way as well. And then there's this little boy with his, what's he got, his lunch, or, you know, years ago I had an idea of, he had a sort of wicker basket with him, you know, with a little blue and white checked cloth over, and then I realised I was getting mixed up with Red Riding Hood. It was her, wasn't it, who had that? Well, how was he carrying them? I mean, his mum wrapped them up, were they in a basket? How did Andrew even know he had them? Had he been rifling through kids' packed lunches or something? You know, how did he know? Because you have this sort of ethereal thing, well, I do, you know, about, oh, and these things were presented to Jesus and they multiplied. But really, in the practical everyday of life, you know, Jesus has said, okay, so where are we going to get enough to buy these, this lot, some bread? He was involving his disciples. He always involves us because he wants to work with us. And he says, where did he get that? Where do we get this to feed them? When somebody is with their disciples, they're teaching them all the time. It's like being in school. If you're a teacher, you're always looking for that bit to teach the children. You know, it's really annoying. Oh, look, kids, it's snowing. Now, do you know what's happening? No, come away from the window. Don't enjoy it. Let's do the science bit of what's happening with the snow. You know, teachers can be really boring at times. But Jesus is using the opportunity to teach, you know, okay, what are we going to do about this? So poor old Philip goes, "Oh, well, you know, imagine how much it would cost to feed this lot." He straight away goes to the money, doesn't he? "I haven't got enough money for this. Nobody have, none of us have." And then Andrew comes along. Is he being a bit super spiritual here? "Well, Jesus, I've found some food." You know, he's talking about the money, but I've got food. And then, you know, somebody probably thought, are you having a joke? You know, or what's that got? How is that going to happen? And I think Jesus was using this to teach, okay, we've got a problem. So what are we going to do about it? That's what we do, don't we? We say, you know, Mark is a lot calmer than I am, generally. And he's always got a phrase, let's work the problem. You know, and sometimes I go, yes, let's work the problem. But what's going to happen next? Well, let's work the problem. So when we have a problem, and I don't want to belittle our problems and say, you know, I'm going to give you 3 points now how to solve your problems. But can we think of a pattern here that Jesus used? You know, he involved them. He wants to involve us. Involve him in it. So rather than going, right, okay, well, the car's gone up the creek, you know, can we get a loan from the bank? What can we do? You know, let's involve Jesus first. Let that be our first point of call. So he showed us, he asked the question, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed this lot? So let's ask him, okay, what are we going to do? How are you going to solve the problem of my job? My car, my health, what are we going to do? Ask the question and then listen. And then when you feel as though something, you know, we go, oh, have we heard Jesus? It won't be an audible voice, generally speaking. It will be a gut feeling. It will be something that someone brings. But look, keep your eyes on him because he will appear with a solution to the problem. He will. And then, like the little boy, offer to Jesus what you have. Now, we don't know if that poor kid, you know, offered it, really. It doesn't say he offered it, does it? It says that Andrew had found him. You know, here, we're taking your loaves and your fish. I mean, this poor child wasn't even part of the problem because he'd at least got his own food with him, which a lot of the others probably hadn't, and some of them may have, but who knows? So we've got a problem. Involve Jesus. Ask the question. Listen. Obey. And then build your faith. And even if you haven't got a problem, build your faith. I'm not saying don't, you know, all these theologians that we listen to now and, you know, we want to be a little bit more intellectual about the Bible. We want to know more about where it came from, why it was written. All these are important. But don't neglect building your faith and do whatever it takes. Go to conferences. Spend time with the people who will build your faith. Get onto YouTube and listen to people who are respected, who God is working among. Listen to them, listen to them speaking. You know, don't look at the circumstances, look to God. We have to be practical, and I know that. We have to look at our money, we have to look at our finances. But we're here because we know there is a different dimension to our lives. It's not just the physical, it's not just the food. Because you know, these things come and they go. What's a problem this year might not be a problem next year. But we need to make sure that our stand is in Jesus. And I just want to finish really with a couple of stories. One of them is from Heidi Baker and one of them is from Corrie Ten Boom, which you might know. And it's about multiplication of food, of saying really that, you know, what happened then, it can happen today if we need it. Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't buy anything this week because your stuff's not going to run out, because it probably is. But when Heidi Baker talks, and you can see this on YouTube, it's about 4 minutes long, But she was talking about, they were in Mozambique. They had about 100 children. They'd got these buildings that they thought were going to be theirs. And the Marxist government moved in and moved them out of their buildings onto the street. And they had to walk many, many miles with all these children, about 100 or maybe more, and two little children of their own. Who were very blonde, so were in danger along the streets. And they walked miles and miles without shoes. And they got to their offices in the town. And they hadn't eaten for days. So there they are, Roland and Hailey Baker, with their own children, who were two of them, and about 100 plus Mozambican children. So they were all holed up in this office, wondering what to do. They had not eaten for a long time. And she received a phone call from a lady in the embassy, and she said, I've made you some chili and rice, and I'm going to bring it over, because you're probably hungry, are you? So she's like, yeah, right, we're hungry. We've not eaten for days. So she gets there with the food, and it's in two small pots. And Heidi says, how many of you made it for? And she said, four of you, for you two and your two children. And she said, well, I have a large family. And she opened the door, and there were all these 100-odd children. And she said, this poor woman nearly died of fright and went, well, I could go and try and make a bit more. And she said, no, they've not eaten. They need now. They just go and feed them. So she said they had a lot of bowls because they used to feed going out feeding people on the street. So they had a pile of bowls and three little pots, corn, rice and chili. And she said to this lady, start feeding them. And she said this woman was in a state of panic saying, well, it's going to run out. And she said, don't look at the pot, look at their eyes. And give them a lot because they're really hungry. And so she started and she fed them all, a whole lot of them. You can see it on YouTube. There's a few where she preaches this same story. One time she does say 100 children, another time she says 300. But anyway, we'll let her have that one. But nevertheless, don't miss what God's done with the actual essence of that. Corrie ten Boom, she was in a prison of war camp, and her sister was really ill, and somebody had smuggled some vitamins drops, and she didn't want to give them out because her sister was ill, and she just wanted to give them to her sister, and her sister said, no, start giving them to everybody in their hut. And she started doing that. And every day there was enough for everybody in the hut. And that lasted throughout their time there. These are stories you can read, but you've got to do the work, really, to see that God is still at work in the miraculous. And whatever is in your life now, he is still at work. So this week, maybe have, you know, let's have a test of saying, well, where are you in this, God? We're looking for breakthrough. Share it with somebody. Get them to pray with you for whatever it is you're needing breakthrough this week. And let's look for God and not the circumstances. And we're going to finish now because this is summer and our meetings have to be shorter. So Carol gets a chocolate for doing a colouring at the back. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to help us this week in whatever we're facing, in whatever circumstances we are, that we look for him. And when we see him, let's encourage each other. Let's tell each other stories of what he's done. You know, we've read all these heroes, but it's their story that's going to inspire us and spur us on. we were praying before the service, and we did have a couple of words, and we're going for this at the moment, and we're seeing God speak to our congregation through these words and to say, I see you. The words, they're not healing words today. One of them was a fine line. And maybe that means something to you, that there's a fine line in your life at the moment, or that you've talked about. Another one, there was a plane with a name Josephine, which is fairly specific. And the other one was about plaster. So not your average words, but we're being bold here. So please encourage us if that's anything to do with you. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we sit before you today, that you would do a work in our heart to encourage us, that whatever we're facing, whether it's a need in our lives or whether it's something that we see that our heart's breaking for, Lord, we pray that you would help us to lift our eyes to you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill us with courage and faith and the power to see these things change, to see breakthrough where we need it, in our family, in our work, where we live, in our homes, in our schools. We pray, Lord, that you would fill us with faith for that, and that as we look at you, that these things would get into their rightful place. Lord, we pray that you would come, that you would bring that healing that we've been waiting for, that loved one to come to know you, that job to be released to us. Lord, we just pray, we give these situations to you and ask that you would come in Jesus' name and bring those things along, Lord. And now we pray, Lord, that as we go, that you would be with us, that on this lovely sunny day, that we'd enjoy each other, we'd enjoy what you have for us, and that we'd enjoy being together now, sharing you, sharing our lives together, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.